you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw. Biggs time.
The Biggs Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long-time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire. Check him out, aturo.com. Biggs Day!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, big game coming up, buddy. This is it. This is the one. This is Carolina coming in, and here is your offensive breakout. You told us yesterday they like to allow points early. Bears are going to run it up and keep it going, and everything is happy in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is a good spot for the Bears. I really do. This Carolina team that has been much more fluid on offense since Andy Dalton replaced Bryce Young 2 games ago. But let's take a look at who they've played. That was games against the Las Vegas Raiders, which is still difficult for me to say, and the Cincinnati Bengals, 2 teams that are struggling on defense right now. So Dalton and the players around him on that Panthers offense have yet to encounter a defense, I think, to the caliber of where the Bears are at. And so I think that is a significant advantage for the Bears. I mean, I'm not slighting Andy Dalton or overlooking him. Like, if you took Andy Dalton's career statistics with the Bengals and dropped them in Chicago, they'd have a statue of him outside Soldier Field, but doesn't have a lot around him. They've got issues personnel-wise almost across the board. So I think it's a really good spot for the Bears defense, which has been rushing the passer really well. And it's not just one guy. You know, you can't single out one guy and say, well, you know, if they double team him, what's going to happen? There's a lot of chip help by opponents to Montez Sweat, but you're seeing production in terms of pass rush wins, quarterback hits, sacks across the board. Daryl Taylor, you're getting a much more consistent DeMarcus Walker, I think, than they got a year ago. Javon Dexter, of course. So they are they're playing well up front.
So you look at the Bears offense, as Shane Waldron addressed on Thursday, the need to get going early and to score some points, maybe even take a lead. What a concept. There's only one team in the league that has been more futile in the first quarter than the Bears. That's the Eagles, who have yet to score. Brad, what did you hear yesterday that should give people reason to believe the Bears will be better in the first quarter on Sunday?
You know, I don't put a ton into what I hear. I try to put more stock into what I see. And what Waldron said, I think, made more sense yesterday than some of the previous weeks when they'd been struggling and the answers were hard to discern. You got replies. You weren't sure what was in them. But, hey, they ran the ball effectively last week, and I think that is – a needed step, and they've got to continue that this week against the Carolina Panthers. And then I would look at something he addressed yesterday, which made sense, but you got to see it before you believe it, is cleaning things up, right? They had too many self-inflicted errors in the first half of these games. That's been one of the issues, that they've been behind the chains. a false start penalty, a hold, whatever the case, they have kind of gotten in their own way a little bit here in the early going. And you look at this Panthers run defense, 29th in the league, allowing opponents nearly 149 yards a game, 23rd in yards per rush at almost 4.7. They haven't been good defending the pass. I know I told you guys earlier this week that in the next five games, the Bears face five of the six worst defenses, bottom six in the league in terms of yards per pass attempt. Carolina coming in at 27th in that metric. And the Panthers, don't have the hint of a pass rush. They're 31st defensively in sacks per pass attempt. I believe they've got five sacks on the season. So I just think you look at this from all the angles, and this should be a productive Sunday where the Bears can build on some of the things they did well last Sunday against the Rams.
You know, we were talking a little bit about this idea of the scripted plays. And, you know, again, we know that that this has been an ongoing practice for a very long time, leading back to Paul Brown when he kind of stepped back from being his own coordinator to just being the general manager and the head coach, et cetera. And he had Bill Walsh. They would meet for breakfast and talk over the plays they wanted to run to kind of open the game. And I've heard it described with the word probing. The idea is, so you're not reacting to what the defense is showing. You're trying to take plays that you have scripted that you plan on running, and you want to use a different formation, maybe some subtle thing that teams haven't seen on tape, and see how they respond. What will they do when we run this? So you're trying to score, but you're trying to set up touchdowns later in the game. That is the idea of scripted plays. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that process, Brad, and what it does and why it doesn't work sometimes for the Bears?
Well, you know, a lot of the stuff hasn't worked early again because of the self-inflicted stuff, but I agree with you where you are introducing, like you said, a lot of times maybe formations to see, okay, and personnel groupings, right?
Yes.
So you've got two tight ends and two wide receivers on the field. How are they going to defend us? Are they going to be in base, or are they going to be in nickel personnel? You go to, three wide. What are they going to do? How does it look? And you're throwing formations, personnel groupings out there to see how they react, because a lot of the stuff that you have in your playbook is designed to look similar, and then you come back with something that's got a wrinkle to it. You're running the same look, the same personnel, the same formation, completely different play, and you're trying to build off something you did earlier in the game. And Waldron said yesterday that, you know, he had obviously spent three seasons working under Pete Carroll with the Seahawks. And, you know, Pete Carroll said you can't win a game in the first quarter, but you can win a game in the fourth quarter. And, you know, who am I to argue with Pete Carroll? That makes plenty of sense to me. But, the bottom line is they've got to start to be more efficient. They can't lean on scoring after the first 15 minutes. And I think this will balance out. Again, the schedule sets up pretty well for them here in the next month and a half or so. This is a good spot for them Sunday at Soldier Field.
Panthers can run the football. They have an offensive line that they have paid a lot of money for. I think the third in the league in terms of offensive line investment, Brad. Chuba Hubbard is a very good running back. The Bears have struggled against the run. Could that be one area that maybe gives the Panthers a little bit of hope? And is that the one area where the Bears have to focus on stopping the run before they can do anything else, like any given week?
Yeah, and that's something I don't think the Bears are concerned about the run defense right now, which is, you look at most of the statistics, they're kind of smack dab in the middle of the league, maybe just a touch below the midpoint in some of these key statistics. Here's how you kind of eliminate that problem. You get a lead, and you hold it, and you build on it, and you force Andy Dalton and the Panthers throw the football. And I know some of the sack statistics for Carolina are probably skewed a little bit because of Bryce Young playing with an inexperienced quarterback, but I don't think the Panthers would feel like they're getting banged for their buck on the offensive line to this point. Sacks have been a problem for them. Pass protection has been a problem. Dalton will get the ball out quicker. He's going to know where his hots are. He's going to understand pressures. But if the Bears can continue to win with their front four, that's going to be a good spot for them. And Hubbard has been impressive thus far. Their rushing statistics aren't great, probably, again, because they've been chasing in a bunch of these games early this season where they've kind of had to ditch the running game a little bit. But, yeah, Chuba Hubbard is a guy that Eric Washington, the defensive quarterback or defensive coordinator, excuse me, talked about yesterday, was very complimentary to him as a runner. And I think the Bears know the task and assignment in stopping the run and putting Carolina in second and eight, third and six type situations. And then the defense goes to work.
So we know that there was a complete, thus far, practice week for Keenan Allen. He wasn't on the injured list for really the first time, and he was able to practice all week. What does that mean come Sunday? Is he got a larger role? Will Rome Odunze be featured more? Might DJ Moore get off the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully all that and more, right? I think the first place you start with is when you talk about Keenan Allen is he's got to look better out there because talking to scouts that have watched the Bears, they can tell that there's something wrong with his wheels, that he's not moving like he has previously in his career. He looks a little hobbled out there, so. That's the first situation, I think, is him not being on the injury report. Does that mean that he's closer to full speed, which is where they need him to be? They need him to be that guy that can get open in the middle of the field, especially on third down. They need him to be that comfortable connection for Caleb Williams that can help the Bears move the chains. And we've seen Caleb looked his way. You know, he got 11 targets in the opener against the Titans, and he wasn't on the field a ton. He was on the field for 38 snaps, and he got 11 targets. Like, wrap your mind around that a little bit. 41 snaps for him last week. So he was at just under 70% of the playing time. You know, if they can keep that playing time for Keenan Allen in that 60 to 70% range, I think they're going to be fine. As long as he's moving closer to full speed, right? You don't want to overdo it with them. You want to understand it's going to be a long season, and yeah, they've got to get DJ Moore the ball downfield. I they've seen a lot of too high looks, and they haven't attacked that down the middle a whole lot just yet. And we'll have to see what the Panthers present on Sunday, but. You would expect some growth and gains for the passing game in the weeks to come based on the opponents that are on the schedule.
One would hope, as much as we talked about the receivers in the offseason, one would hope they would have a downfield passing game eventually. Maybe it starts this weekend. Yeah. That's the idea. Keenan Allen, 60 to 70% of the snaps. I think I want him on there more than that eventually as he gets healthy, Brad.
Well, he's been hurt. But he's been – like, let's just – It's a marathon, not a sprint.
Okay.
But just that, right. And they've got other guys, and they've got multiple tight ends. They've got running backs. So just have him out there. Make sure he's feeling good, and so he can give you some juice on third down, right? So he can give you some juice in the red zone. So he can be that guy that can shake open from tight coverage. So he can be the guy that finds the hole, finds the window for Caleb Williams in zone coverage.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years. Estwing.com. All right, Biggsy, how does this game, break it down for us? Give us your trip handicap of Sunday's contest.
Yeah, I just think the Bears have an advantage in most areas in this game. I think this sets up well for them. Again, I respect Andy Dalton and what he's done throughout his career, and I certainly acknowledge the improvement Carolina's had offensively since he took over for Bryce Young. Like, maybe Dalton should have been starting from the jump based on a rocky preseason and training camp for Bryce Young. But you guys understand how those things go for highly drafted players. But the Bears, I think, are in a good spot defensively. The Bears are much healthier than Carolina. I mean, I looked at it the other day. The Panthers listed 19 guys on the injury report. It was like seven of them were a DNP, did not participate, and I think eight were limited. So for the issues that the Bears do have health-wise, they were in way better shape than the Rams were last week, much better shape than the Panthers are this week, with Carolina having some key guys already out for the season. The Bears have been, we haven't talked a ton about it, guys. I know we've talked about the punter, Torrey Taylor, who was fantastic last week. The Bears have been much better in every aspect on special teams this season. So I've got the Bears winning the game 27-13 on Sunday, guys.
That's a blowout.
Yeah.
That's a big blowout. So the passing game must be getting the juice from Keenan Allen if they're going to score 27 points and holding the 13. That's a pretty
well, and they don't need it all from Keenan Allen. You know, they got DJ, they got Rome, they got Cole Kmet. I'm sure one of these weeks here you're going to see Gerald Everett have 60, 70 yards receiving. He's a productive pass catching tight end that's in that complementary role to Cole. So they've just got a lot of options. They don't have to lean on one guy, but getting Keenan in a spot where he's healthy, and maybe that's why they took that second week off for him. You know, he missed two games and did not practice at all in those 2 weeks. Maybe that was with the idea of, okay, we're going to give this a little extra time, and we're going to hope and cross our fingers that you can put this behind you.
Brad, we'll let you go. Just curious, the offensive line is getting healthy now, right? I mean, I know that you still got the rib injury. Tevin Jenkins was limited, but it looks like he's going to play. I'm curious, when are they going to activate Ryan Bates? Do you think you said before maybe they wait till after the London game?
Yeah, I mean, Bates.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bates isn't available to be activated until, at the soonest, next week.
Next week, right. But I'm saying
with the game in London, with a game in London and a bye week following that, I don't believe that makes sense. I don't believe that'll happen. I think they're probably targeting the week after the bye for him, if everything's in a good spot. And it might be, guys, similar thinking across the board with Larry Borum, another one of the offensive linemen,
yes,
and then defensive end Jacob Martin.
Yep.
We've barely talked about him.
He's available now,
injury.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, but they haven't started his window. And if they weren't going to start it this week, again, why start that clock with a bye week coming up? Because you can't push pause on that clock once you've started it. So you would effectively lose an entire week of practice for him during the bye if you were to start him start his clock next week.
Good point, because it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Hey, I'm just curious.
You're picking up here, Dave.
Yeah, he's learning. I'm just curious, Brad, and I know we got to go. I wonder if you brought Bates back after the London game, could you have him work center for 2 weeks and then maybe fit into that? Is it too much to think that he could play center before the year is out?
Oh, not at all. No, I that would be my guess right now. That's just a guess. And they're going to have the guys out there are going to have opportunities to play and play better, hopefully, before he's in a spot. And it's going to take some practice time. Like, I don't see them starting the return window for Bates, and 3-4 days later, you see him in the lineup.
Right.
That seems unrealistic to me. But, yeah, I would think that center could be where we see him when he gets back on the field in game action.
Great stuff, Brad. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great weekend, guys.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs, football man of the Chicago Tribune. Did he invent that? It's a marathon?
I don't know.
Where did that come from? All right. We should talk about, there's a lot of moving parts on this offensive line. Dare we have a conversation?
We'll have a conversation about the offensive line.
Okay, good. Mully and Haw on the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Gron's done a really good job, again, going back to when he first got here as a rookie, and you know, he's recovering from injury, seeing how locked in he was in the meeting room, how open he was to learning our system and everything that went into it. That really accelerated, in my opinion, his ability to then, once he's back out here practicing, to not go back out and start practicing, having to learn a system. He was ready to go. He knew what to do. He was prepared. He worked hard in the offseason. And so each week you just see him improving, whether it's taking a scout team rep, you know, during the course of the week, whether it's taking a rep with the ones or twos, you know, however the rep plan plays out, he's taking every one of those as a game-like rep, and you just see that constant improvement every single day.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That is the voice of Shane Waldron. He is, of course, the offensive coordinator. He's talking about Kieran Amagaji. He's talking about the third-round draft pick, the left tackle that they brought in from Yale, I believe. He's a Yalie. And he had come pre-injured, which is why he fell to the third round. And we're talking about the offensive line. I'm just curious, David. It doesn't often happen in the NFL, but could you see, and I'm not predicting this or anything else, but could you see the Bears improving their line as the season goes on? They gave a lot of money to Ryan Bates. They used a high draft pick, a first-day draft pick, the old first-day draft pick. It's actually a third day now, on Kieran Amagaji. Larry Borum is coming off of injured reserve. They already seem to have pulled the plug on Nate Davis. I don't know what is going on there. But could you see this offensive line getting better as the year goes on?
Well, it better get better. I don't know if changing centers is the answer, but the idea is that it's getting better. I think Nate Davis played acceptably last week. Acceptably is a low bar for a guy you have guaranteed $19 million to, but I think when you start to talk about improvement, that's one area that you could envision seeing it once he gets invested or healthy or whatever is holding him back. If he can clear that hurdle, then he's a more than serviceable option at one of the guard positions. If Tevin Jenkins comes back, if there are ways that you can improve your offensive line. And just by playing together, in theory, that will help them improve their capability to protect Caleb Williams and establish a running game. They're not there yet, but I don't know. Amagaji is not somebody I would count on. I'm not sure why they activated him to begin the season, because if he still is unable to play at a level that you deem acceptable because of the injury, injured reserve would have seemed to be a logical place to start the season. You have wasted a roster spot because he's not been in the mix. He's been available, but is he really available? So you draft somebody in the third round. By now, if he's healthy, he should be contributing. He's not, so that feels like that's not been managed in a way that makes sense.
I'm not arguing that fact. I just wonder, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Is there a funny mirror reality out there where the Bears actually get a lead, actually are leading in the fourth quarter to the point where you could take out the quarterback and you could bring in Tyson Bagent?
What do you expect on Sunday?
A blowout? And then maybe you have a new left tackle for a few downs.
Hmm. Well, one step at a time.
I got a little carried away.
Yeah, I hear that, and I think, wow, I'm not even there yet. And I don't think the Bears should even consider that. I think you have to take care of business, and you are a 2-2 football team that is a few plays away from being 1-3 and staring down a season that you didn't expect. So before you would start to entertain the possibility of getting experience for your third-round draft pick that's injured or removing Caleb Williams from getting experience that he needs, no, I would not. I would not think that's – if I'm making my top 15, my script of 15 priorities on Sunday, I'm not even sure that makes the list.
I don't know what it's like to have like a blowout lead in the fourth quarter and not have to worry about finishing the game. So it's a difficult thing to project.
Yeah, it is.
What I'm trying to say is, how do you develop an offensive lineman, a rookie offensive lineman who hasn't played football in a while? How do you go about developing him? Or is this a redshirt year for him? And if it is, if Kieran Amagaji is kind of a redshirt this year, and why is he on the active roster on game day?
He's there in case of emergency, in case of injury. I don't think he's there because you feel like he's a better option than anybody that you are having. He's not going to be supplanting Braxton Jones this season as a rookie. I think that he's only there in case Braxton Jones suffers an injury. You have somebody who knows the playbook, is going to be baptism by fire. And he's there.
If Braxton Jones got hurt, Wouldn't you move prior to that position and bring in Davis to play guard?
Yeah, to get through the game. If Braxton Jones is missing an extended period of time, is my point, is that you would probably try during the week to get your rookie third-round draft pick up to speed if you can. I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. That is something that is got to be in the back of somebody's mind at Hallis Hall. I hope it's not at the front of their mind because, you know, he's somebody that – is on the roster for reasons that don't make a lot of sense right now, but it's...
This is my point. You got a guy, he's not only on the roster, he's on the active roster, which indicates they're ready to play him, right? So why is he on the active roster if you're not going to play him? Are you... I just need to know their thinking a little bit on what they're doing in terms of development versus actual playing time.
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I don't quite know. I'm not.
You're not interested in the question.
I can't give you an answer. I'm interested. I just don't know that Kieran Amagaji's status for Sunday is going to affect the way I look at this game.
Well, and that's fair. I just think it's interesting that you've got a group of players that are on the roster that don't play. And you got a guy that is ready to play, and he doesn't play. That's all. I mean, I'm just curious as to, like, for instance, if you got an injury to your kick returner, do you have Kieran Amagaji on the roster, or would you bring up Bayless Jones Jr. and maybe have him ready in case he goes down?
Yeah, your kick return options are probably. You have more of those than maybe you do at tackle, right? Okay. You have more guys that could probably do that. Khalil Herbert's a guy you haven't heard from much this year at all. That's a strange one, too. There are a lot of bottom-of-the-roster decisions.
Dominic
that you
Robinson.
Could,
I'm just saying, there's a lot of guys, bodies.
Right, a lot of bodies. A lot of bodies that they haven't used yet. And Amagaji's a guy that I think they must believe in, and they must think that he's going to be able to be trusted if they need him. They haven't needed him so far.
All right, we've got Joe Fortenbaugh next. We'll bring Joe in, and we'll find out what the big games are this weekend. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Get up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. Get up and- Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joe Fortenbaugh is our man from ESPN Bet. He's our man in Vegas, and he is ESPN Bet live weekdays at 5 o'clock. He is a man that joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Joseph, how are you this morning?
Gentlemen, I'm fantastic. I'm coming to you live from the great state of Maine, right across the border from our good friends to the north, the Canadians. Your boy's leaf peeping this weekend. That's what the young people say, leaf peeping. Now, I know it sounds crazy. How can this guy be leaf peeping in the middle of football season? Well, it turns out my lovely, beautiful wife, who has tolerated so, so much over the years, has a very special birthday this weekend. And when you're married to someone like me who has to cover football the way he covers football, your birthday kind of gets slid to the side a little bit. So I said, no, not this year. Anything you want to do, we're going to take some time off. We're going to celebrate. So I'm in Maine today. I'm going to New Hampshire later.
Wow.
The fall foliage is fantastic. Let me tell you something. You guys think betting college football is a rush? No. The colors of the leaves in October in New Hampshire, that's a rush, gentlemen.
Oh, where in Maine are you, Joe? Because it's a fascinating state. It's beautiful this time of year, especially.
Good lobster.
Great question.
Lobster.
Great question. Yeah, the lobster rolls are still flowing. It's delicious cold water lobster, as we all love. I am in the city of Kennebunkport, Maine right now. Ran into someone who actually recognized me last night, much like the people of Chicago who have let me know on Twitter. Not pleased with the college football picks this season. I told him I'm leaf peeping here, but we are going to try to turn the college picks around. Thank God some of those NFL picks hit last week. The college picks have been a disaster.
Well, are there any college games to pick? I mean, I know the national championship game, the reunion.
Ridiculous question, Mulligan. Yeah. That is a ridiculous question.
Okay. I mean, not good games is what I was trying to say. Always games to pick.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, we got the one big game last week, and for the 2 weeks leading up to that, we didn't get anything. And we don't really have a great weekend this weekend. The good news is starting next weekend and then just ripping through how many weeks in a row, we're going to get deep in these conference schedules, and we're going to start to get some big ones. I know we got Alabama, Tennessee in a few weeks. We're finally going to see if Ohio State's worth anything when they got the Oregon game coming up. But I'll rip through a few right here for you. We're going to start with Louisville. We're going to lay the 6.5 against SMU. Louisville was very good in that game against Notre Dame, all right? They outgained them by about 115 total yards. They held the ball for 5 more minutes. Problem was they turned it over too much, had a couple big mistakes on third down. But I think they're undervalued here against an SMU team that's riding really high coming off that Florida State win. All right, I think they're coming in a little bit big in the britches here. We're going to go ahead and play Louisville at less than a touchdown, minus 6.5. UConn, I'm hoping we're not too late on this one. UConn has been incredible this season. All right, they've covered 4 straight spreads, and they've covered those spreads by an average of 23 points per game. They're actually humming right now. They're laying 17 against Temple. I don't know if it's high enough. We're going to dip our toe into the water here with UConn, the way they've been smashing everybody, and we're going to take a shot with the Huskies, all right? Vanderbilt, plus 23 over Alabama. This one is not for the faint of heart, okay? I can understand you just watched Bama win a huge game against Georgia. Problem here is that this is your classic flat spot, right? You won this game. You know that you don't have to go undefeated to make the playoffs, so a loss down the line, you're still probably going to get in. Huge win, everyone's celebrating. Here comes little old Vanderbilt. It's a road game. It's a sleepy spot. It's a Super Bowl for Vanderbilt, who should have upset Missouri, who did earlier in the season take out Virginia Tech. Better than expected. Open 24, down to 23. We'll play Vandy. 2 more for you. Louisiana minus 16.5 over Southern Miss. Southern Miss is dreadful. Last time out, lost to Jacksonville State 44-7. They're a 6-point dog. First of all, you shouldn't be a dog to Jacksonville State. And then second of all, you shouldn't be losing by a margin of 44-7. So we're going to lay the 16.5 with Louisville. And then a little gimmick play here. Tennessee is going to go to Arkansas. One thing people have not noticed, and we used to talk about Tom Herman as an underdog on this show all the time. Here's an angle just like that. Tennessee in the first half Josh Heupel, the head coach. This is his seventh year as a head coach. Head coach for 3 years at Central Florida. Now he's in year four at Tennessee. Against the first half number, he's 72%. Against the first half number on the road, 76%. 23-7-1 against the spread. It's incredible. The offense knows how to blow people out early, so we're going to take a swing here. It's right around -7.5. There's some alts at 6.5 that are like -140. You could play those as well. So Louisville -6.5, UConn -17, Vanderbilt +23, Louisiana -16.5, Tennessee first half -7.5. Those are your college football selections from the great state of Maine.
All right, let's get to week five in the NFL.
Can I quickly give you one, Joe?
Yeah, I would love to hear. Mulligan, I've been doing this for more than 10 years. You've never given me anything.
I just wonder, am I out of line by saying Army over Tulsa?
Ooh, well, no, the service academies have been very, very good. Very, very good this year. That's the big concern they have with the playoff committee is that Army and Navy play each other like the week after the vote goes down to set up the playoffs, and that might be the non-Power 4 conference champion that's highest rated. So I love the fact that you're looking at the service academies. Giddy up. I'll add that to the card.
All right, Joe, week five in the NFL.
Let's go to London. I'll lay the 2.5 with Minnesota over the Jets. Kills me to do it. I thought the Jets were going to be a lot better this year. Their coaching is so bad. So, so bad. Like, they're going to completely waste anything they get out of the end of Rodgers' career with how poorly prepared they are and how poorly they coach games. I mean, they're just one of those teams that when you watch them, their head is so far underwater, they don't know what they're doing. Nathaniel Hackett as an offensive coordinator against Brian Flores as a defensive coordinator, that's the handicap. Minnesota -2.5. Arizona +7.5 over San Francisco. I know this is going to be a tough pill to swallow. Niners are banged up all over the place. Look ahead line here with 6.5. Cardinals go get blown out. Niners beat the Patriots. Who cares? That goes through the key number of 7 to 7.5. I'll grab that. I think that price is too high. Seattle -6.5 over the Giants. Not a believer in the Giants, but that's not saying a whole lot because I don't think anyone out there is a believer in the Giants, including the owner of the team. They stink. Offensively, they can't do anything. They make a ton of mistakes in the red zone. I like the Seattle team. I like the fact that they got tested at Detroit. They hung in with them. They had a lot of injuries on defense, but they're getting healthier. I think they can win this game by more than a touchdown. Pittsburgh -2.5 over Dallas. Tread lightly because McCarthy with extra rest is very good. Stylistically, I don't like the matchup. Pittsburgh should be able to run the ball. That keeps it easy for Justin Fields. Pittsburgh defense should limit what the Cowboys want to do. Keep in mind, the Cowboys are very poor when having to play from behind, okay? That's like the big Achilles heel for them. If they have to play from behind, it's a mess. Nobody's led for more minutes this season than the San Francisco 49ers. Number two is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've been playing from in front a lot more than everyone in the league except San Francisco. And then finally, Monday Night Football, under 43.5, Chiefs Saints. The under's hitting 61% in Kansas City home games, dating back like 9 years. All right, you get a lot of unders in these Kansas City home games. So to recap the card, Vikings -2.5, Cardinals +7.5, Seattle -6.5, Pittsburgh -2.5, under 43.5, Chiefs Saints. I want to like the Bears this weekend. I really do. I'm trying to figure out the best way to play them because the thing is when we start to talk about these spreads right around 4, which was what we see against Carolina, if I'm going to cover 4, I need an offense with a little bit of pop. Like, we need to be able to score on some big plays, and I know we're still waiting for some of that to happen. So the best move here might be to look at the Carolina Panther team total and bet the under. I know they're scoring more with Dalton, but the Bear defense is number 5 in the NFL in EPA. That dates back to, like, late last season when they brought in Sweat in the trade from the Commanders. That has carried over quite nicely. So instead of playing it as a full game angle, I think I'm going to use the best part of the Bears, which is the defense, and I'm going to attack the team total under for Carolina because if I got to bet on that Bears offense, I got to tell you, boys, it's been a little inconsistent for my liking this year.
That's fun stuff, Joe. This segment with Joe Fortenbaugh brought to you by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS. Yeah, we're expecting the Bears to sit up and take notice and finally score some points and maybe start looking like that Super Bowl team back in the day that you mentioned earlier in the season.
Can't believe they're only favored by 3.5, Joe. That's a hard one to figure.
I know that's the thing. It's you assess this, and these numbers will start to climb. But look at the scoring in the NFL. It's down a little bit this year. Explosive plays are down a little bit. This whole too high safety thing is limiting what offenses do. And you've got these underdogs covering, especially dogs of like 5.5 or more, 6 or more. They've been covering like crazy. We're not getting the big blowout margins in the NFL that we used to. Teams are surging back in the second half too. So trying to cover these numbers, like 4 doesn't look like a lot, but if you're going to cover 4 in this modern NFL, you got to have some pop on offense. I need to know you can get down the field quickly at times if I need some points, and we haven't seen that from the Bears just yet. So let's bet the defense this weekend.
Love it, Joe. Thank you, buddy. Always a joy.
Enjoy Maine.
Hey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do, boys. A little maple syrup today. A little maple syrup in between peeping the Leafs. That's what we're doing. Love you, Chicago. Go Bears.
That is awesome. That is our guy, Joe Fortenbaugh. He's in Maine peeping the leaves. It just sounds dirty.
It's a beautiful time of year to be there, though. Great. I okay. love Maine. Right. Booth Bay Harbor, I think, is where we visited. He's in Kennebunkport, which is close. It's a beautiful state.
Yeah, I went to the, what is it? The National Park out there. Which National Park is out there? We spent some time out there and wandered around and did a bike ride and then watched the sunrise. The national parks, is a general rule, you belong going to when you have vacation time. But the one in Maine is excellent, too. Arcadia National Park? Yeah, whatever. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. Thanks for keeping us the number one and most listened to sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, laptop, mobile device through the Odyssey app, AUDACY, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hey, it's Mully and Haw for Window Nation. Do you want in on a little secret? How about this? October, not only the best time to go peeping leaves in Maine, it's also the best time to buy new windows. It's getting cold out, which means your heating bills will soon be on the rise, and your house is old and damaged windows. They'll let out all the heat and your money. They'll let it go right out the window. Getting them fixed is a priority.
So you want to call Window Nation. This October, you can buy 2 windows and get 2 free. It's a great offer. There's no limit to how much you could save. Plus, you could save big with no interest at all or payments for 24 months.
Why do I like Window Nation? Because they partner with the top manufacturers to build the best quality, affordable windows, and then they pass the savings on to you. Over 20,000 customers give Window Nation a 5-star review, including Albert, who said, great value, great product, and great customer service.
So hurry, sale ends October 31st. You want to act now, though, before the offer ends. Don't pay more than you have to for quality windows. Go to Window Nation. Schedule your fast in-home estimate right now at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Just tell them Mully and Haw sent you.
Oasis will tour summer 2025. See Oasis live in Chicago. Soldier Field, August 28th. Get tickets this Friday at noon at livenation.com. Oasis, live 25.
At Hyundai, we make a big deal about the little things, like the little fact that 9 Hyundai vehicles have earned IIHS top safety picks this year, and offering a little thing called America's Best Warranty, because delivering safety and quality, pretty big deal. Visit your nearest Hyundai dealer today. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Right now, for a limited time, get 1.99% APR for 60 months on the Hyundai Tucson. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Offers end October 31st. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Switch to Shopify Point of Sale and improve your bottom line. Hey, Score listeners, it's Dustin Rhodes, and I want to talk to those of you who run a business. Shopify has helped brands like yours save on things like platform and operational costs. They're also very serious about your savings. They've asked me to make this ad shorter. That means you get time back, just enough time, to visit Shopify.com/switch now. That's Shopify.com/switch now. Now that's an efficient ad.
Hey, sports fans, if you like college football and you love the excitement of going for a big score with parlay wagering, then this offer from BetMGM really has legs. Introducing the College Football No Sweat Parlay Token. Apply this token to any qualifying football game parlay wager. If you don't win, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets. Log in to your existing BetMGM account to receive your token. Add a qualifying college football parlay wager to your bet slip and attach the token. You'll get your stake back in bonus bets if your parlay isn't a winner. So go deep without even breaking a sweat. Make your favorite picks from dozens of betting options and watch the games knowing you are part of the action. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Illinois only. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 800-426-2537 or by texting ILGAMB to 53342. In partnership with Paradise Hotel Casino.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid tax.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.